This matter, pray this prayer after me. Father God, I declare by faith that my mind is prepared, my heart is ready, and my spirit is excited to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I said I call you friends. Why? Why? Because I tell you the truth. You're going to hear the truth this morning. The preaching of God's word. Jeannie, come and read the scripture. If you stand, if you're able to stand, as Jeannie reads from 2 Chronicles chapter 17.
The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he became very wealthy and highly esteemed. He was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. He removed the pagan shrines and Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, Jehoshaphat sent his officials to teach in all the towns of Judah. These officials included Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah. He sent Levites along with them, including Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemaranath, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah. He also sent out the priests Elishama and Jehoram. They took copies of the book of the law of the Lord and traveled around through all the towns of Judah, teaching the people. Then the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms, so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought him gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful and built fortresses and storage cities throughout Judah. Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter.
Amen. God bless you. May be seated. God bless his word this morning. There was a lot in that last verse. Choices matter. Great job on the names, by the way, Jeannie. That's why I was jumping on some of them. All those guys. Nobody names their kids after those names much anymore. Just a few people. I have spoken several times in my years as senior pastor here on the difference between a biblical absolute, a church or a community standard, and personal conviction. Know this morning, the biblical absolute is not up for debate. It is universal. In other words, it's worldwide. It's the same everywhere. It has never changed, and it still doesn't change. A biblical absolute is just that. It's absolute. For instance, and here's this one because we probably all agree on it. The Bible says that adultery is sin. It always has been sin. It's sin universal all over the world. It's still a sin, and always will be sin. I have some blanks. Spots in your bulletin, you can follow along if you have a pen or whatever, a pencil. That's still the teacher part of me. In your bulletin, if the Bible calls something sin, it's sin. Your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. It is what it is. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. Jesus is life. Jesus created life. Jesus values life. He is life. Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord gave you this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. Psalm 139, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched as I was being formed in the utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Who was the first to absolutely rejoice at the presence of Jesus on this earth? That's a trick question. You don't need to try to answer it. I'll answer it for you. It was John the Baptist. In Elizabeth's womb, Mary coming, Jesus in Mary's womb, and the baby leaped for joy at the presence of Jesus. Jesus didn't come into this world on Christmas Day. The minute he was conceived, the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb, he was here. Luke 1, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth, child. Everyone say child. Not an embryo, not a fetus. Child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What a moment. Verse 44, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. All children, born and unborn, are made in the image of God. I want you to hear me out this morning. Don't make any conclusions or judgments until you hear the whole message. Okay? Okay? All right. Some years ago, I was at a dentist's office. Put that chart up there, if you would. I was sitting in the dentist chair, waiting for him to come in, and I'm looking on the wall, and he had this chart. It was called the Chart of Human Dentition. And I began to look at that chart before he came in, and I saw that it mentions this human dentition, right? Human? Right? Person? In utero, 3 months, 7 months, prenatal, teeth right in the womb, 3 years. When the dentist came in, I said, I want to thank you and congratulate you. He said, for what? I said, for being pro-life. He said, what are you talking about? I said, obviously the American Dental Association is a pro-life organization, and I really appreciate that. He said, well, I said, well, I'm looking at your chart there. It shows the chart of human dentition. I think human is human, right? And it's before the child is even born. It's being recognized as being developed and having teeth. Well, I said, well, thank you very much. He brought it to me in the future, by the way. I think God did a work in his way. I really do. Listen, there are many issues affecting us today that fall under the realm of society standards, country standards, government standards, a lot of opinions in the realm of politics. Like tariffs, for instance. Trade agreements with other countries. Debated. Talked about. Some are environmental issues, and everybody's got opinions. And some are very vocal, some are very angry. Treaties. Listen to me this morning. Life is not one of those issues. Life is not one of those issues. There's a slippery slope of decline if we don't understand that today. As I said several times in the past, also, not only did I speak on absolutes, but I've also talked about the issue of principles. And one of them was the principle of decline. Put that little wheel up there. I don't know, maybe you've seen this thing before in a stores or in a restaurant. That's not a toilet, by the way. Kind of looks like that, doesn't it? Ever seen one of these things? Round and round and round and around and around. It's just going to stay right there, right? It's going to go up, isn't it? Where's it going? It's going down. It's going down. The direction of man, listen to me this morning, here's what I think it means, the principle of decline. The direction of man tends to run in a down, this is in your bulletin, in a downward spiral when it comes to values and standards. Let me amplify that for you. If I begin to compromise on the Word of God, maybe in one little area, if I begin to compromise on a standard or a value that the Bible teaches regarding the Christian life, then the principle of decline is going to begin to set in. And that person will keep on declining each time there's a little compromise. And it's going to be more and more of that in our walk with the Lord. Moving downward away from the Lord, pretty soon we can reach a place where we're really not clearly hearing God's voice anymore. And then we're going to make some really bad decisions that are contrary to what God has for you and me. I think it's clear. I think we understand it because we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in a place where maybe at some point in time we compromised on something that was good and right for us, contrary to what God has set for us, and the principle of decline sets in. Somebody said that what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. Do you think it's true? I do. I can think back, not all of many years, but let's say 25 or 30 years. What was really acceptable, what was really unacceptable, is fairly acceptable today. Who would have thought that something that was shocking 30 years ago would not be shocking today? Okay, by worldly standards, you understand that, don't we? In your bulletin, gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, and then praised. Gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, then praised. The child in the womb in the first trimester is not really a baby, it's only a fetus. Then the second trimester. Then the third trimester. Then if there's something radically wrong, we just leave that on the birth table and let it die. That child has a disability. Put the picture up there. This is a guy you know. Isn't he the cutest kid in the room? I had a chance a couple Thursdays ago to play with him in the nursery and play basketball and some other things. He's quite the boy. Smart kid. Great personality. Can you imagine a world without knees? You can take the picture, though. There are countries right now where there are no children with Down syndrome that are born. It's where we're heading. I read an article this week. Parents in Australia are suing the doctors for wrongful birth because they did not inform them that they did some tests and they thought things were okay, but precious girl was born with a disability. And the parents said if they would have known that, the child wouldn't have made it out of the womb alive. And they're suing for the money to raise their unwanted child. Put the next picture up. Cam Daniel. Huh? It's a great place to be. If you've never been there, even for the next 4 weeks, Pastor James was up there this last week, but the next 4 weeks is Cam Daniel. They can drive up someday and just see what goes on up there in right out of Wausaukee, just north of there. If the principle of the client keeps setting in, there'll be no need for a Camp Daniel. You think I'm exaggerating? Unthinkable? Look at the next picture. People. I can't imagine a world without Able Church. There are a lot of people that can. You think it stops there? Put the next picture up. These are my people, seniors. So when does the government determine that at such and such an age with such and such prevailing diseases, a person doesn't deserve, need medical care anymore? The cost of medicines and medical care. There's no really contribution at such and such a time, so they can't really contribute to society, so the government declares, we just withhold. And let them die in peace or whatever. Life is not a political issue, folks. Don't be deceived. What does a person do? And we pray, number one, for our government, for our government leaders, for people who make the laws to come to their senses and seek the wisdom of God who is available. It's available to everyone who asks. Let your voice be heard in Wisconsin, in our government. When you go to a polling place, think. 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 And listen. Always, always understand the principle in God's Word of speaking the truth. There may be a lot of so-called truth being purported out there in social media, but I don't see a lot of love. I sense a lot of anger and bitterness. Social media is not going to change many minds, by the way. In love. Christians aren't haters. Don't be a hater. Be a child of God who loves everyone. prays for everyone, and always choose life. By the way, are you glad that God is a forgiving God? We'd all be undone if He wasn't. Don't be elevating sins above other sins. Bible calls things sin. I sin, you sin. We need God's forgiveness. It's available to everyone. We are never in a position to judge anyone. Remember the story in the Gospels of the woman taken in adultery? Was she guilty? Jesus said, any of you out there that are without sin, pick up the first stone and cast it. I couldn't pick up a stone, could you? I can't pick up a stone against anybody. Jesus said, where are your accusers? She said, there's none. He said, I don't accuse you either. Just go down, stop sinning. Live a better life. Live a profitable life. Live a life of Jesus. King Jehoshaphat, we read about in the Bible. His story is a cautionary tale in letting others influence you in this life. We have a choice, folks. We always have a choice. To be influenced by others or to influence others. We're not alone in the battle, by the way, thank God, right? He's given us what we need to win the fight. In your bulletin, the battle for influence is won by listening to God and obeying His Word. It's so simple and so difficult. Listening to the voice of God and obeying His Word, they go hand in hand. Regardless of what others say or think. Jehoshaphat's reign as king in Judah was really going well. He had riches and honor. Find a blessing for a king. And you made a misstep. One little misstep. He should have said, oh, for grace to trust you more, Lord, but he didn't. He aligned himself with the king of Israel, Ahab, and gave his son to be married to Ahab's daughter. And the principle of decline began to set in. Ahab was notoriously bad. His 22-year reign in Israel is marked by repeated spiritual compromises. He led Israel further and further away from God. He married a foreigner himself against God's word, Jezebel, whose name is actually synonymous with immorality, shamefulness. Ahab wanted to capture Ramoth-Gilead, a critical territory southwest of the Sea of Galilee, held by Syria. So he asked Jehoshaphat if he would ride into battle with him. Jehoshaphat agrees. But says, let's ask of the Lord first. Well, imagine that. So Ahab gathers his 400 prophets of Baal. They say, yeah, we're down. Victory's yours. Now, Jehoshaphat's compromising, but he's not totally dumb at this point in time. He says, isn't there another prophet we can ask? Ahab says, yeah, there's one, but I hate him. He never says anything good about me. Well, he comes and ultimately says, don't do it. But they do it anyway. They go into battle. Despite his warning, Micaiah, Ahab and Jehoshaphat ride into battle together. Ahab deceives Jehoshaphat, imagine that, by disguising himself and telling the king to wear his kingly robes in the battle. You dress up like the king. So those first arrows will come for you. Well, the battle goes just as Micaiah predicted. Israel is defeated. Ahab is killed. Jehoshaphat avoids death only by call out to the Lord. He made a colossal mistake by aligning himself with an evil king. But God showed him every mercy, even in battle. What does Jehoshaphat's story teach us about the battle for influence? Choice and meta. In your bulletin, bad influence affects our judgment. Who are you listening to? Clearly, Jehoshaphat was influenced by Ahab. And even though the Bible celebrates Jehoshaphat's reforms in Judah, his choices led him to be a lesser king than God called him to be. He compromised his beliefs by joining forces with evil, with an evil king. It had disastrous consequences both for him and Israel. Later, we're told in 2 Chronicles, after Jehoshaphat dies, his son becomes king and lives exactly like Ahab, and leads Judah even further away from God. Wow. We read a story like that, and you know, it's easy to think, how could he be so foolish? God spoke to him. He didn't get the message. I know I would have listened. Is that true? Are there times that God has spoken to you and me and I haven't listened or you haven't listened? I'm not looking for amens here, but I know you're saying them inside. Maybe you didn't want to confront your sin. Maybe you thought, I can get myself out of this mess. I can fix it. It's one of the CR principles. I can't fix myself. Have you ever compromised something you believe in order to save face? Fit in? Take the easy route? Listen, the truth is we're more like Jehoshaphat than we would like to admit. God doesn't want you to fight the battle for influence alone. There's a greater king who fights with and for you. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised God, King God, sent to rule his kingdom with wisdom, justice, and righteousness. He was faithful in God's mission to the very end. He was the influencer, and he never compromised his beliefs. And God has gone even a step further to help you in the battle. He gave you the Holy Spirit. You sang the song, you are welcome here. Not just here, but here. Right in my life. Holy Spirit is your ally in battle. He gives you the authority to do what's right. He reminds you of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ fighting the same battles. God gives us strength in numbers. That's why we have a church. That's why we need a church. That 50-inch TV screen is not my church. There may be some neat things on there, but it's not my church. They're not my brothers and sisters who can come around me. I can come around them and minister to them and encourage them and lay hands on them and pray for them. I think that's worth clapping for. God gives strength in numbers. Don't neglect what you can learn from the battle-tested men and women in your life. There are people who have been through it. Talk to them. There are people that have some gray hair and no hair that have been through it. Talk to them. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom. Well, I sign up. Any of you lack wisdom? Ask our generous God. He will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. Thank you, Jesus. For that, the only condition of that promise is I just have to tell him I don't have it. I need it. The decisions that we make affect those around us, even our unborn descendants. It's important to make the right decisions, not only for you, but for your family. And others around you, don't give in to the pressures of compromise, my friends. Seek wise counsel. Live according to God's word. Stand up for what is right. and always declare the truth in love. And when the squeeze comes in, say like Joshua said in Joshua 24, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stand for Him. Would you bow your heads? Worship team, would you come? Bye.